Chodesh Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh on this Yom Rosh Chodesh, is daf Lamed Chet. And we got up to, we did a little bit of the top. Remember, we've been in the middle of trying to understand Beit Hillel Shita, that even a chatas that you bring, which requires four separate netinot dam be'etzba and the kronot, if you would put just one matana on the mizbeach, that according to Beit Hillel, that would be sufficient, whereas Beit Shammai held that you need a minimum of two. So we had two possibilities for that. And interesting, the last one was a whole new approach to the finding the mean between the Kri and the Ksiv in the question of Yesh'em Lemikra, Yesh'em Lemisora. But today, there's a different approach completely, and that's a Braita. The Tana Maiti Lemihocha, so that's where we got up to yesterday. And the Tana of this Braita learns the din of Beit Hillel, that even Matana Achat of a Chatas that requires, we're talking about a Chatas Chitzena now still, of a Chatas that requires Arba is going to be sufficient. What is that? He learns the following Pasuk. Since the Pasuk repeats the idea of Vechiper, Vechiper, Vechiper. Now remember that we talked about having three separate Psukim that describe the chiyuv of bringing your carbon chatas. And they were almost exactly the same, which was really strange. One was the Soyer Nasi. This was the last three of the five carbonas that were introduced in chatas in Vayikra. So following the chataot apnimiot, which were the par halam dovash al tzibur and the par kohen mashiach, not in that order, there came the three chataot, one of a yochid. One was a yochid who was a nasi, and that's the soyer nasi, and one was a regular individual who opts, he's got a choice, he opts to bring a kifsa for his chatas, and the last case was a yochid who opts to bring a eis, which for his seira, for his chatas. Now, for some reason, the Torah repeats the same, I'm going to read you the three psukim, and see how similar they are. So when it comes to the chatas nasi, it says, ve'et kol chelbo yaktir ha-mizbecha kechelev zevach ha-shlamim, ve'chiper alav ha-kohen me'chatato v'nislachlo. So remember those words. We have chiper alav v'nislachlo. Then when we move on to the kifsa of a yachid, ve'et kol chelba, same exact language, except, of course, with this soyer nasi, which is a male, it says, et kol chelbo. Here it says, et kol chelba, yasir kasher husar chelo mi'azevach ha-shlamim, vi'hiktir ha-kohen ha-mizbeicha, l'reach l'chok l'ashem, and again, v'chiper alav ha-kohen v'nislach lo. And then when it comes to the third parsha, which is the yochid who opts for bringing a seira, it says, again, that kol chelba yasir, kasher yusar chelev hakesev mizevach hashlamim, viktir hakohen otam hamizbecha lishei Hashem, and listen to this once again, v'chiper alav hakohen al chatato asher chata v'nislach lo. So why do we need to repeat this v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper three times in the pasuk? So this Tana is actually focusing on that specific issue. So the Braita says like this, v'chiper, 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 the reason that we need to do this and repeat the same thing like this is because we got stuck when we were trying to figure out the din by simple svara. Now, this is mitnei ad-din. We needed these psukim because here is the way that our argument in our audience started off. V'alo dinu. Look, we thought to ourselves, it says that Beis Hillel Shita is that you only need one matana out of the four. So we said, well, isn't that obvious? I mean, we can figure that out. Mitzad asvara, vahalodinu, ne'emru damim lamata, ne'emru damim lamala. We know that there are damim, all of the damim that we've discussed until this point when we get to the chatas. So they were all damim that were put lamata, meaning michuta sikra. So remember, the chuta sikra was halfway up the mizbeach, and anything besides the korban chatas is brought lamata michuta sikra. So we learned about the dinim of those matanais. What were those dinim? Well, even though you're chayav azrika shnayim shein arba, but the shnayim shein arba, you can be yotze just by putting on one. And we proved that before with the dams of achecha yishafech, no discussion we had before. So that's a given that you can get away with one, and even Beit Shammai agrees to that. So probably, it's just logical to say, I'll leave it a Beis Hillel, that in the same way that we find all the domim that are lamata of the chuta sikra, are okay with one matana. And it says, okay, there's some damim, namely the chatas, that need to be given l'mala b'chuta sikra. So, ma matzinu, ma matan damim, ha'amurim l'mata shenitanam b'matana achat kiper, av damim ha'amurim l'mala shenitanam b'matana achat kiper. I mean, basically, why not? We find that even when the Torah has increased demands for netinot, you can be yotze even with one. So why shouldn't that be true above? Ah, I'll tell you why. Because there's another way entirely of looking at, continues the Braita. Oh, klach l'derech zeh. Perhaps the way to look at it is like this. We've got this korban chatas that's brought b'chutz, but remember that we also had those chataot that are brought bifnim. So nemru damim bifnim and nemru damim b'chutz. Just like the damim ha'amurim bifnim, over there, echatas pnimis, any of the parim and sirim that are nisrafim, the din is that if you were chiser achat min ha'matanot, even if you missed one out of all of the matanot that the Torah insists upon, you were not any closer to a kapora, and it has no meaning whatsoever. Lo asav lo klum. Av damim ha'amurim b'chutz, maybe it should be compared to the chataot ha'pnimiyot. And just like we're going to see the din of the chatot arpnimiot is that it's all or absolutely nothing, the same thing is true of adamim amurim b'chutz, that if it's not all, it's absolutely nothing. Lo asav lo klum. Well, continues the Braita, what do we do when we have two options? We could compare it either to the damim lamata, or we could compare chatas to chatas. Which one goes? Well, the next thing that we always do in these kind of arguments is we say, nir elami dome. Let's see what makes more sense to compare it to. My first take on it is that we should learn out chutz michutz. I mean, we're talking about domim of achatas chitzona. So it makes sense to learn that out of the domim that are also chitzona. And therefore, why would we want to learn it out from things that are very different because they're being done inside of the Heichal? And obviously, the Torah is much more makpid on Dam in the Heichal than on the outside. Doesn't that make sense? Maybe not, says the Braita. Maybe there's another way of looking at it. O kolach l'derech zeh, look at it like this. Doesn't it make more sense to learn out the din of the Dam of a Korban Chatas, which requires... First of all, it's a chatas. And secondly, it requires four separate kranot from chataot that are brought inside of the hechal that are also chatas and that also require the four kranot of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And why would we want to bring a raya from something that is brought the chutz down underneath, which is not called a korban chatas and does not require dam on arba kranot? Well, what do you think? I think maybe it's better to learn it out from a bifnim, which means that basically we're stuck. That's what we usually mean when we say mipnei hadin. We try to figure it out, mitzad hasvara, and we end up not really knowing how we should consider it. That's why Talmud Lomar, now you understand, why do we need v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper? Because otherwise we wouldn't know the din. And because of that, it says it three times, to be marbe a kapora. V'chiper, so the first time it's telling us, you know, this Kohen could be mechaper even if he didn't do all of those matanos. And then we repeat it again. So that would be he only gave three out of the four. Then we repeat again, v'chiper. That means even though he did not give two of the matanot, he only gave two. And v'chiper again. That tells me even if he only gave one. So these are extra v'chipers. The kapora will happen anyway, even though you only put on one. So that means that Beit Hillel can use the ribuyim of v'chiper to tell me that essentially you only are ma'akev the kapora if you're missing one of those domim, because the Torah says, nah, nah, that's okay, v'chiper minus one. Ah, it's okay, v'chiper minus two. Ah, it's okay, v'chiper minus three. So you're left just with the original mitzvah. We've got to at least get some dam on there. question is, says the Gemara, how can the Braita make that decision if these psukim actually teach us the fact that this is the full kapara for your chet? I mean, don't we need to know that the bringing of this korban is not simply a chiyuv for having done an avera, but it's actually a kapara on the avera? I mean, we take that for granted because we're so used to this idea of the v'chiper and the v'nislach, as we're going to see. But how would we know any of that? We could just think that the Torah was mechayev of you to do this because you were chote. That doesn't mean you get a kapara. So therefore, each one of them is coming to tell me this very special halacha that this carbon that you're bringing is going to actually bring you a kapara. Oh, my Rava, well, I heard from my Rav, Barad Amori, he was masbir, that's very simple. Each one of these psukim do not only say v'chiper, they also say v'nislach. Now, the Torah is not makbid, anywhere that I know of, on the difference between the word v'chiper or v'nislach in terms of telling us that the korban is being brought for purposes of cleaning you of your chait. So you could have said either v'chiper or v'nislach, zohi kapara, zohi slicha, except obviously very technically. So why do I need, therefore, to have both v'chiper, 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 and also v'nislach, v'nislach, v'nislach? So legufe, I don't need it. What do I need it for? Therefore, like the Braita says, I need it to tell me that Beis Hillel is marbe kapara. Well, couldn't we say, I mean, this is sort of extreme, isn't it? What you've done is you've said every one of these kippers is going to add a kapara despite the fact that you didn't give the dam at all. Well, I mean, that's very extreme. Maybe it doesn't mean even if you didn't give the dam at all. Maybe it means if you didn't put all of the dam on top, on the kranot. Instead, you put it beneath the chuta sikra. Maybe that's what it means. So then v'chiper would tell me, the first one would tell me, even though you didn't do all four on the kranot, and you only did three on the kranot, and the fourth one, well, you didn't just dispense with it, but the fourth one, you actually treated it as if it weren't a chatas, and you put it lamata michuta sikra. Bob, you can't get away with not putting it on at all, can you? Maybe that's what it means. And then when it says v'chiper again, it's telling me, even if you just split it, you put shtayim lamata, v'shtayim lamala. And then the next v'chiper tells me that essentially, now this is strange, this jump, but the Gemara is going to explain it in a minute. The next v'chiper jumps to telling me, actually, the din of lamala is not ma'akiv. You could actually put all four of the matanos lamata, and you would still be yotzi. But you'd still have to put all four matanos. Maybe that's what it means. And therefore, it's just adding a different place, but it's not telling me we can do without. Well, that would be crazy, says Rav Adi Bar Yitzchak. Then that would mean that there's no din of the kranot at all. I mean, this is so much part of our chatas. Says the Gemara, that's all very nice that you've gotten your mind all snugly around the din that there has to be kranot. You know, but if God has another opinion, maybe that's okay. You know, I mean, would you tolerate another opinion? So, irachmana Omar. So if your loved one, he says, that's the way it is, so fine. Let go of your cuddly chatas. Libatlon. Let them actually be batal. You could put all four underneath. I'll tell you, there's a different reason why this doesn't work. Because why would we need, where is there any situation that there would be a need specifically for three psukim, right? Remember, what you did is you managed to get rid of the chiyuv above and you said, just put them all below. I mean, that's sort of sneaky. The Torah didn't say four psukim. The Torah said three psukim. So where does it make sense that we would need to talk about three psukim? Well, obviously, if we've got four chronos and three psukim, it makes a heck of a lot of sense to say that each one of those vechipers is actually allowing you to dispense with one of them, and you end up with one that's a chiv. Okay, fine. You know what? So I could still say that, yes, you're right, we could dispense with three of them, but when you say dispense, maybe it doesn't mean dispense entirely. Maybe it means dispense with putting them on top, but you still have to put them on the bottom. Now, here we finally get to the point of why it is that the Braita, our first attack on the Braita, suggested that we move off of the top and go to the bottom completely, which is the reason that we had this comeback of why do we need three, right? So now we're going to actually talk about that. Because if you're telling me that all that you may have a right to be Doresh from the Vechiper is that you can move away one of the Matnot Dam, and then two of the Matnot Dam, and then three of the Matnot Dam, maybe it doesn't mean you can get rid of it completely. Maybe it means you can move it away from the Kronot to putting it underneath the Chut HaSikra. So it would be B'chatzi HaMizbeach V'lamata. So couldn't I still say that? Couldn't I say, V'chiper afa pishinat lo natan al achat lamala v'sholosh lamata? And that would be the third one. So, you know, so it would go, V'chiper afa pishinat natan ela sholosh lamala v'achat lamata. Till you get to the last V'chiper, that leaves you with one lamala and sholosh lamata. But that, isn't that still advantageous to just getting rid of it all? No. The reason we never said that, said the Gemara, and the reason that we jumped in our first analysis to saying that you wouldn't need any lamala, and we went straight to saying you could do all of it lamata, is because we never find anywhere in the Torah that you put dam, half lamala and half lamata. So that's, it's just not reasonable because it doesn't fit anything that we know about Zrika. So you can't make up a new way of doing Zrika that the Torah never gave you. So I understand it could be either or, but it can't be both. Oh, really now? The law? You're telling me we never find the dam half on the beneath and half above? Have you forgotten the Mishnah in Yoma? Hiza mimenu achas lemala v'sheva lemata. I mean, it says pretty clear to me, up and down. Lamala o lamata. I mean, you can't get clearer than that, can you? This is talking about the dam on the parochet. Says the Gemara, that doesn't mean lamala o lamata, half above and half below. It means kimatzlif. What's that mean? My kimatzlif. So Rav Yehuda actually made a little show and tell of a matzlif. A matzlif is kiminagdina. So let's say if a Shliach Bezdin is doing a Malkus in Bezdin. So what does he do? It's a little bit of a Machlokas, but it's how Rashi understands it. That what he does is he never hits the same spot twice. And each whip is below the one that was there before, so that in the end, he's not going above and below. It's that each maka of the whip is slightly below the one before. That's what it means. And as far as the question of what you mean, therefore, by saying lamala lamata, it's true that your hand movement is different, as we're going to see. And what that means is that when you're aiming the first one that we say, achas lamala, and then the where we sing even in the davening, you know, achas v'achas and so on. What that refers to is the direction that your fingers are pointing. Namely, are your palms upward and your finger is that. Therefore, if your palm is facing towards your face, then your fingers, when you're being zorek with the finger, are pointing upwards. If your palm is pointing down, then your fingers are pointing down, but when you flick them, they still flick upwards. So that's the meaning of lamala and lamata, not that we actually take a halfway point. And the truth is that none of this dam actually hit the parochet, remember, unless it was a mistake. I mean, but you didn't aim to actually hit it. You just went towards it. All right. But what about the dam that you put on the Mizbeach HaPnimi? It says over there in Yoma, Hizal Taharo Shel HaMizbeach Sheva Pamim. You did it on the Tahara of the Mizbeach. I'm assuming that the Tahara of the Mizbeach is similar to the word that people use for good afternoon. Something like that. Like we would say to Chaim Meyerfeld if he was away for a day or two. We would say good afternoon and or good chedesh tohar, you know. So how do you say afternoon? Well, you say tohar tiara de yuma. It's like in the afternoon we say, wow, it's the brightest point of the day, right? So the sun is right ahead. Something like what you feel when Chaim Meyerfeld comes back. So that's what it actually was referring to, we thought. And therefore, it would mean smack bang in the middle. That's what you would think, like noon is smack bang in the middle. If that's the case, you couldn't possibly have gotten all of the dam exactly smack bang in the middle. You would have had some of the dam on top and some of the dam below. So we do see that your yotze in a typical zrika for a mizbeach haprimi of half above and half below, or statistical half above and half below, right? No, Amar Rav Barshi, that's not what it means. Tiara shel mizbeach means the shiny part of the mizbeach, like it says in the pasuk, uche'etzem hashamayim letohar, when the vision of the Shechina was nizgala, they saw it was as if there was the beauty of the absolutely clear sky, which means that the Mizbeach Apnimi, which would normally have some ash on it from the Hakrova of the Keteres, before you put the dam of the Korbonis that were being brought on Yom Kippur, before you sprinkled the dam Asoyer and the dam Apar on the Mizbeach, you had to clean off that ash. That's for Tiaro Shel Mizbeach. But it doesn't mean the halfway up. It means towards the cleaned surface of the Mizbeach. Oh, okay. Well, what about the fact that every time that you bring a Korban Chatas, it says Beferish that the Shirayim are Shvichat Shirayim Liyasod is part of the Chiyab, right? So if you're supposed, where's the Yasod? That's all the way on the bottom. And where the kronot? All the way on top. Okay, so then the Torah is telling you, put some of the dam on top, on the kronot. And then the shirayim, all the shirayim are v'shafakli v'yesod ha-mizbeach on the bottom. So, there you go. Don't try to tell me we never find dam partially on top or partially on the bottom. We always find dam partially on the top and partially on the bottom. Every time we bring a korban chatas, what are you making me trouble for? No, I'm talking about dam that has to go on the Mizbeach. I'm not talking about Shirayim. Shirayim, that's not my akev at all. And therefore, I'm talking about the original Zrika. How do you do the original Zrika? So to tell me you need to do the original Zrika of the Arba Matanais, half on top, or three quarters, or one quarter on top, but three quarters on the bottom, that's unheard of. This is Shirayim. And Shirayim are not ma'akev. Well, wait a minute. There's a Madioma who holds that the Shirayim hapnimim are ma'akev. Ika Madioma ma'akve. So when you do the four matanais and you're doing them inside, you then have to walk out with whatever was left over and the rest of it goes on the bottom of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So the first were on the top of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the rest were on the bottom of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So you do find dam on top and dam on the bottom, which is ma'akev because the dam of the Pnimiim, at least according to one Shita, are actually ma'akev if you don't do Shvicha Shirayim B'chutz. Yeah, very nice, okay. What I meant was, you don't find in one place that you do half on top and half on the bottom. The fact that the Torah, I mean, this is a very special situation in which dam has to reach the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and you're putting it essentially on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and so therefore, the way that you're putting it on the Mizbeach HaChitzon is by Shvicha Shirayim. That makes sense. I'm talking about the original Matana, the essential matana in the place where you're bringing it. You can't have half on top and half on the bottom. That's all I'm saying. So, b'chad makom kamrin, and I think that makes perfectly good sense. And therefore, we're left with the idea that it couldn't possibly mean, let's take each one of those v'kipers and flip the location instead of giving it a ribui and saying, well, you don't need it at all. You can't say that. Now, there's another machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that, of course, is directly an application of the question of how many matanos you need. Because as we saw yesterday, the real focus of the Mishnah is on pigel. And the question is, what is going to be mefagel in the zrika? What is considered to be the actual ikuv of the matana? And that would depend. So, speaking it all out over here, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, since, according to Beit Shammai, you need to have shtei matanot for a chatas, so in order to make something pigel, you would have to have done both of those matanot. Since the other zvachim, you only need one, put it all together, and what do you get? Those shtei matanot shebechatas that are ma'akev, and the one matana of all other zvachim are ma'akev, those are enough to be matir the basar for achila, to be matir the emurim for hakrova, and to be mefagel if you had a kavanas pigo to do I achila michutz lezmano. So when it comes to Beit Hillel, however, since he only requires one matana of achatas, he says it makes no difference. Both by achatas and both by all of the zvachim, the achas that's ma'akev and the achatas, and the achas that's ma'akev and the kolas zvachim, is enough to be matir the basur ba'achila and the emurim for haktora. And if you add a machshev as pigo, that is going to turn the carbon into pigo. Matkevar Rav Hoshaya, but if that's true, so then you're telling me, according to Beit Shammai, you have to be mechaven for pigel in both, and otherwise it's not pigel. This is a tremendous kula of Beit Shammai. Because it turns out, according to Beit Shammai, if you had a kavanas pigel for the matanas dam of achatas, it wouldn't be mefagel. Whereas according to Beit Hillel, it would. Why is that not listed in Masechet Idyot? In Masechet Idyot, we had a vast list of all of the Kulei Beit Shammai and the Chumrei Beit Hillel, remember? And it did not mention anything about Beit Shammai being the Kula in terms of one Machsheves Pigel just on one Matnas Chatas. How come it didn't? Omer Le Rava, that's no question. I mean, many things have a Kula and a Chumrah. Basically, in the Beis HaMedrash, somebody got up and said, what would be the din, how much dam do you need in order to be allowed to eat the basar of the carbon? So, Beit Shammai says, the chatas, you need two. Beit Hillel says, nah, you don't need two. You only need one. So who's Lakula there? Beit Hillel is Lakula, which is the norm. And the fact that if you look at it from the other point of view, well, what about making it pigel? That's the other side of the coin. But Idyot, remember, is not about theories. Idyot is about precisely what Idyot means. It's recreating the psak as it was given. And how was it asked in the Beis HaMedrash? Ki Ichal in the Beis HaMedrash, which is what was Gerim the Idyot? Lehetera Ichal. And when it comes to being Matir, the Basar, Beit Shammai is actually Lechumra, because he says you need to have two matanas to be matir. A lovely additional implication of the concept of Edus that we keep stressing here. We need to talk about the Edus as it actually occurred in the Beit HaMidrash. Lovely. Omer of Yochanan. Let's talk about, if we really only need one, what would be the din of the remaining three in terms of the halachas of Zrika? Well, the last three, which are not ma'akev after we already brought one, doesn't mean that you could do whatever you want, you know? It's still dam, and therefore you can't bring it at night. it's going to be posibilina. So it has to be brought in the daytime. And what's unusual about them is that if you were already mechaper by giving the one, the remaining three are going to still be brought even if the owner of the chatas died in the interim. Now, normally, a chatas shemeta balea is bemisa, and we would not be allowed to bring that dam. But since over here the chatas was already mechaper, it's not called a owner who died before kapora because he did get kapora. So therefore, we would still bring those additional three matnos dam. And furthermore, they are still matnos dam that are roi on the mizbeach, are they not? Therefore, hamala and behem bachutz is still going to be chayev. You're not allowed to do halon zrika bachutz. And if you bring this and you put them on the mizbeach, then even though they're not essential for zrika, but still you're supposed to do them. And because of that, if you do it bachutz, you would be chayev. Omer of Papa, let me broaden this discussion a little bit over here. There are certain things that these three matanot that are no longer absolutely necessary, because we already brought the first, and they're not ma'akev. There's some of their dinim are just the same as they were if they would have been the first matana, and some of the dinim are like the equivalent of the sofa, which refers to the shirayim, which means that they're not ma'akev. So here's my list. If you want to talk about whether you can bring this dam at night, or can you bring this dam outside of the Azorah, would you be chayev? Chutz v'layla? Or can a zar bring this dam? Or does this dam need to be in a kli sharet for the kohen to put his finger into? Or does this dam is supposed to be on the Karen HaMizbeach? And does it need to be put on with the etzba of the Kohen? Or if some of this dam got sprinkled on a beget, would it be considered to be a chiev like the Torah says? This is an important thing to know. We haven't discussed it yet. That if dam gets onto a beget, then the Torah says that the halacha is asher yadzeh mimen midama. Al ha-beged asher yizeh aleha techabes b'makom kadosh. There's a special chiyuv of needing to wash that dam out if it spilled on any beged inside of a makom kedusha. So that's a new din of kibus begodim, which is a chiyuv of chatas. So if you have three of these matanas, where the chatas was already mechaper because of the first one, what would be the din? All of those halach. Oh, and what's the din? If you were mekabel adam of the chatas, like we had before, in four separate cups, you poured out the first cup. The remainder, the shirayim, are put on the yesod. Now, you pour out the remaining three cups. Do the remainders of the dam still require shvicha shirayim? Yes. The din of all of the above issues, says Rav Papa, are exactly the same as the first one. And they are all usur to be done with a zar. They all need to be done in a kli sharet. They all need to be put on the keren ha-mizbeach. They need the etzba of the kohen to be put on. You can't do them at night. You can't do them outside. If any of the dam spills onto the beged, it has to be washed. And if there are shirayim after the zrika from this particular coast, it would require shvicha shirayim. Exactly the same as if this were the first. However, let's talk about the other dinim, with which they're not the same. Let's talk about a case where the balim of the carbon died, mita. Or let's talk about the question of whether you had a machsheves pigel, or whether they're necessary to be matir the buzzer. Well, no, legabe that, lo sharia. Misa, they can be brought even after the death. They're not necessary for heter of the bus or losharia. If you have a machsheves pigel, they're not mefagel. And if they're brought inside of the heichal, where normally the dam of a chatas is brought into the heichal, pasos the korban, over here, They are not part of that din. Below Ayla Legavoy, they don't passel if they're brought in the Hechel. They're all Kisofan. They're the equivalent of Shiraim when it comes to those dinim. And I'll prove it to you, says Rav Papa. Where do I get this from? Omer Rav Papa. I tell you that we learn it out essentially of the Mishnah that we're actually going to have later on in the Masechet, which says like this. Nitan minat savar al habeget. So if the blood of a chatas didn't spill from the coats, it spilled from the tzavar of the animal that you shechted, and it gets directly onto the clothing that the kohen's wearing. That is not mechayev kibbutz. Eino ta'un kibbutz, because that blood was not yet able to be used for hazah. And we're going to see later on, since it says in the pasuk, asher yizeh midama ala beged, it means it has to be actually roi for hazayah, then techabes b'makom kadosh. So that's not going to be mechayev kibbutz. If some of the blood, after it was already put on the keren of the mizbeach, or was put on the sword on the mizbeach, it splatters when you're putting it on, and it bounces back on your beged. That is not going to be mechayev kibbutz either, because it says asher yizeh, which means in the future, not that it was already sprinkled. Now, here's my diak, says Rav Papa. My diak is that the only time that it says that it does not need kibbutz is if it sprinkles off of the keren. But suppose you had dam, any kind of dam, that was still meant to be put on the keren. Now, does that include the last three matanais? Yes, absolutely. Nobody argues on the fact that if it's there, you got to put it onto the kanot hamizbeach. Okay, so if it's roi to the keren, then it would require kibbutz, and that's what I'm saying. If it still requires kibbutz, so then it follows that it is still considered to be the equivalent of the original dam. Excuse me, Rav Papa. I mean, I hate to be a party pooper, but I mean, if you're going to be honest, you left out a sort of important, what are you, the New York Times here? You left out a very important part of the Braita. It says over here, if it splatters from the Yisod, okay, let's take a look at that. Are you going to try to tell me that the same diak, you made the diak, mina keren, but not mina royla keren. So you can say the same thing, mina Yisod, but not mina royli yisod, right? Which would mean that the shirayim need kibbutz, which is not true. So mina yisod eno ton kibbutz, so make the same diuk. Ha mina royli yisod ton kibbutz, which would mean that the shirayim require kibbutz. Remember that we learn out from the pasuk asher yizeh, only those things that are meant to be put onto the mizbeach, and not things that are already nuza. Prat lezeh shirayim are not included, because shirayim, the word shirayim means left over after the hazayah. So how could you possibly make a ridiculous diak like that? So obviously, what the Mishnah really means is not your diak. The meaning of the Mishnah is that it's going aliba de Rabbi Nechemya, and that indeed is a completely different shita, because Rabbi Nechemya says, also in the Mishnah later on, Rabbi Nechemya holds that shiyore hadam, if you are makriv shirayim b'chutz, you're chayev. So according to Rabbi Nechemya, we see that he holds that even shirayim are considered to be real dam, and you'd be chayev for bringing them b'chutz, so then it makes sense that this is a mocker to be medayik like Rabbi Nechemya, that just like you would be chayev for bringing the dam b'chutz. If it is shirayim, you're also chayev to wash the beged, and it's b'chayev kibbutz if it's shirayim. So if that's the case, then the first diak that you made is not a diak for you. It's only true if it's Rabbi Nechemya. Mashenkein, according to the halacha, which is that shirayim are actually not mechayev b'chutz, and are not mechayev kibbutz, they may very well hold that they will not be mechayev it, even the original three matanais after the first one was given. So you can't bring a raya from this Mishnah, which is only true Aliba Rebbe Nechemya. I have a terrible feeling that Menach M.L. has actually fallen asleep. Sometimes he's just resting his eyes. But it goes too far. And my easy breathing detector has detected a breathing of a sleeping soul. Alrighty. Says the Gemara, no, that's actually not true. You're jumping to conclusions. You're saying that since Rabbi Nechemya says that if you bring Shirayim Bachutz, that you would be Chayev, so therefore you would be also Chayev in Kivos if it splatters as Shirayim. That does not follow at all. Because Ema Deshamatle Le Rabbi Nechemya, where does it say that according to Rabbi Nechemya, that you're Chayev? If you bring Shirayim Bachutz, yes. Because, look, if you bring anything Bachutz, if you bring Avorim, or you bring Pidorim, if you bring any of the fat of the animal on the Mizbeach Bachutz, which is obviously after Zrika, so then any part of the animal which includes its blood, it's not because it's blood that's roi for Zrika, it's because the blood is part of the animal itself. So midi dehavi Avorim upidorim. But where does that tell you that this is considered shirayim or considered to be blood? Le'inyan kibus? I think you're jumping to conclusions over here to explain that the Mishnah is going alibet Rabbi Nechemya. We never see anywhere that Rabbi Nechemya said any such thing. So where do you get that from? Oh, excuse me. I certainly have. I'll show you where I have. In, I will show you that Rabbi Nechemya actually holds that even Shirayim or Mechayev Kibos. Take a look at this braita. Damim hatu'unim yesod tu'unim kibos. That means that if you're going to be pouring out dam onto the yesod, you're going to have to wash a beged that they splatter on. And what's more, machshava mo'elet behem, and you can make something pigol, which we'll see is not really true. We'll see what it means later on. And if you're Mala Meyum Bachutz, you'd be Chayev, which is, of course, Rabbi Nechemya. However, if you're talking about Domim HaNishpachim La'ama, these are bloods that are not Shirayim. They're just being poured out into the Amma, and now they're no longer used for the Mizbeach at all. Those Damim ain't to Unim Kibus. And those damim cannot create pigol. And those damim, if you bring them bachutz, you'd be potter. Now, who is this Mandi Omar that say that damim that are tu'unim yesod, which, I mean, the way I understand that, means shirayim, who is the Mandi Omar that definitely said part of this? He said, malamem bachutz chayev. I only know one person like that. That's Rabbi Nechemya. And it says over here, that the same Rabbi Nechemya is stone kibos, which is what I told you. So, it actually could be exactly what I said. The Mishnah is a reflection of the sheet of Rabbi Nechemya, and the diak of Rav Papa is therefore bottle. I mean, it doesn't mean it's wrong, but you cannot be medayik it from this Mishnah.